The Lord promises those who have returned from exile that where justice and mercy prevail, the ruins will be rebuilt and light will rise in the darkness. It is the day for new beginnings. A reading from Isaiah, the 58th chapter. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Word of God, word of life. Using images of Moses from the Old Testament, the writer presents a striking vision of the new covenant of God made possible in Christ. There is no longer fear, only awe in the new promise in Christ into which we are invited. A reading from Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearer beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Word of God, word of life.
Offering forgiveness, come. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When Jesus laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, who meets us as our Creator, as Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, and as Holy Spirit, who gathers and inspires us for mission and ministry. Amen. Today's reading from Luke is a simple healing story, right? When Jesus healed a woman who had been bent over and unable to stand up straight for 18 years. A spirit, or some would say Satan, caused this ailment, and Jesus freed this woman from this spirit. Okay. So the question would be, to start off with, would be, why do you think that Jesus healed this woman? And I'm looking for answers. You get to work the sermon today, right? Yeah, so why? Why would you think that Jesus, and?
She deserves a Sabbath from her suffering.
Okay, so she deserved being freed from her suffering, and especially on the Sabbath day, an opportunity to worship God. Sure, okay. Others, I'm not looking for a particular answer, because I figure you got a lot of wisdom here.
Why not?
Okay, that's a good answer. Yeah, why not? You know, why not heal this woman on this particular day? Okay, what else comes to mind as to why Jesus? Yeah. He had compassion for her, definitely. Okay, and that's a big word when you talk about Jesus, compassion. Yeah, Jean?
God's mercy is every day.
God's mercy is every day, so it doesn't matter if it's the Sabbath or whatever. God had compassion and mercy, and therefore let's heal this woman. Yeah, Mike? Yeah, okay, so feeling sorry for her, or someone at the last service used the word pity, yeah, no, that's a strong motivation for deciding to heal. Okay, others. Yeah, Bill?
Jesus wanted to make a point to the Pharisees.
Okay, he wanted to make a point to the folks that are gathered there, whether they be Pharisees or whoever the synagogue leader is, right? Okay, make a point here. And of course, the question would be is, what's the point? But anyway, that's something for us to talk about. Yeah, Alan?
Healing
someone does not work. Okay. Boy, let's talk to some doctors here, right? But yeah, no. But for Jesus, yeah. Okay, and great.
No barriers or limitations?
No barriers or limitations? Sure. Yeah, no. And especially if this woman's been possessed, she would be considered to a certain degree unclean. So Jesus crossed a particular, says, no, she's a human being, a child of God. Yeah. Yeah, Dan? God's mercy is every day. You see, Gene? Affirmation.
Yep.
God's mercy is every day.
Okay, the hypocrisy
of the crowd. Sure. Yeah, Joy.
Do not judge.
Do not judge, yes. Okay. So we got a lot of reasons why Jesus did what he did, right? And that's important to keep in mind, okay, that Jesus had a lot of reasons for wanting to heal this particular woman. And of course, this is a woman who's, I can't imagine, it was hard for me to think, you know, bent over for 18 years and couldn't straighten up. I mean, talk about back problems or whatever is causing that. So, yeah, so compassion, pity, mercy, making a point, God's, breaking down barriers and saying to the crowd, hey, and, you know, and healing is very important. Yes, so, yeah. Now, the other question would be is, how many of you have experienced some form of healing at some point in your life? If so, raise your hands. Yeah, I figured I'd be seeing a lot of hands go up, right? It's a part of life. Okay, I mean, all of us, I would guess, have had some form of healing. Now, as to whether it involves Jesus or not, that's not the question. The thing is, healing. And I would say all forms of healing comes from God. That's my opinion, though, at that point. And I remember myself experiencing healing, especially following the death of my father. And when my father died, I was in the midst of my first call in San Jose. And of course, everything stopped in San Jose, and off to Southern California I went, along with my wife, Linnea, because my father had died. And I spent easily over a week in Southern California, and being the eldest son, I was the one responsible for handling all the arrangements. And I thank God for an uncle who was there to accompany me to every stop along the way to make preparations for the funeral. And I thank God for my home congregation that was willing to have the funeral at their facilities and so on and so forth. And then when I returned, you know, the amazing thing was, it's hard to grieve when one is in the midst of trying to plan a funeral service for one's parent. So when I got home, and I remember showing up for my first worship service after going through all of that, and the folks just welcomed me with open arms. They were happy to see me. And I said, wow, they missed me. All right. And then the other thing is, I found out that they prayed for me, prayed for my family. And then the other amazing thing is, they set up a memorial fund in memory of my father. And I really was touched by that. And, you know, and because of what they did, it really helped in terms of my healing following the death of my father. And all of us have experienced healing. And probably all of us right now, even though we've experienced healing in our lives, there's probably something happening in our life even right now that's probably in need of healing. And I'll admit to that. I mean, I think all of us, there's always something. Isn't that the crazy part about life? There's always something we need to work on, and something that always is in need of some type of healing, some type of connection with God that says, I can help you with that. So, and I'm not asking anybody here to reveal anything about what they're going through. That's not the purpose of what I'm doing here. But let's take a look at the world around us, at the neighborhood around us, at the people around us. And so what in the world or what among the people around us or the neighborhood around us is in need of healing at this time? I mean, we have a healing story, and we have one, but what comes to mind? What has touched you, or what have you noticed in terms of what needs healing at this time around us? Yeah, Joanne.
When we cook for Hospitality House, and we pray before we cook.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So we have a crew that goes to Hospitality House on the fourth Tuesday of the month, prepares a meal at Hospitality House, and folks are certainly welcome to join the crew. And prior to the meal, you know, the person who's doing a number of things with the residents there at Hospitality House, and all these folks are homeless folks, you know, announces, here's the crew, introduces us as Peace Lutheran Church, and then a member of the crew gets to pray. And I am glad that it's not me. Yeah, someone else in the crew does that, and I'm so grateful for that. I mean, that's a joy for me to see a member of the crew do that. But, you know, and of course, the expressions of the people there, and then of course the gratitude that they have, and then to the healing that occurs when we interact with one another. So, and constantly for homeless folks or hungry folks, you know, the need for healing in their lives in the midst of that, or a roof over the head, and how would that help in terms of healing? So yes, very much so. Okay, others, you know, what have you noticed? Yeah, Ingrid?
The leaders of the nations of this world.
Ah, the leaders of the rulers. Yeah, the world, yep. Government leaders, and you can name any country.
All countries.
Yep. Oh, gosh, yeah. And the countries that they lead, yes, there's healing needed there, definitely. I don't have to go far. Take a look on a web page or the newspaper. Yeah. Yeah, Mary.
Racial tensions.
Racial tensions. Oh, yes, definitely. And they seem to have, what, really sparked up recently. Or what was, I was reminded at the last service, today is the 400th anniversary when slaves first appeared in Virginia, in Jamestown, as I recall. You know, so, you know, talk about 400 years of racial divide and our inhumanity to other people because, in this case, they're from Africa. But then you take a look at the history of our nation. So, yep, racial divide, racial tensions, can't seem to get away from that. And it's something that we need to work on, and certainly a lot of healing is needed in our nation and in the world, but certainly in our nation. Yes? Yeah? Yes, Pat?
Healing for my husband.
Healing for your husband?
Yes, he'll gain his strength back.
Of course. Okay. So there's always that need for members of the congregation. I would guess that if I were to ask what ails us and I ran a list around, we got a lot of what ails us, and of course, Mervin. Yeah, no, that certainly is a good reminder, you know, that all of us have those physical ailments. And, you know, and I've noticed that as I'm getting older, and need I say any more? Or what is it I often remind folks? Aging isn't for the faint-hearted. Okay, I mean, we really work at it, and sometimes we wonder, gosh, is this really, anyway. Yeah, Connie?
Well, I think the children of our wealthy society, they are so trapped in the world of social media.
Mm-hmm.
I think just now we're starting to see some of the real negative consequences.
Okay. So the children of our society being caught up in social media, the trap of that, or because they have access to wealth, right? Or one of the things I've noticed as we talk about new pastors, I'm talking to candidacy or folks responsible for what's called the candidacy process, and they say, you know, we're meeting people who want to be pastors, but they feel so entitled. And you're wondering, does being a pastor in servanthood, right, work for them? So sure, healing. Let's see. Jean and then Ann, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Violence in our country and who are imprisoned in cages and separated from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
They
so,
really need healing.
Okay, so healing for children, healing especially as they're dealing with violence, and then those that wind up in, who are crossing the borders of the United States seeking asylum or seeking refugee status or coming here as immigrants and being, incarcerated as a result of coming here. Mm-hmm. So healing for children, especially as they're separated from parents. Sure, sure. And?
Oh,
you were scratching your chin. Oh, sorry. My eyes aren't. Healing for my eyes. Yes, Marilyn.
Healing for the parents who forget that they have a child in the car.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Sure. Healing for parents whose children are caught in cars and, of course, are injured or die as a result of being left in the vehicle and parents for whatever reasons forgetting that they have a child there. Sure, sure, sure. So, Dan?
Healing from the anger spreading about all the gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
For you know, not only children in schools, but the mass shootings and just praying for
that. Yeah. Okay, so praying for what? The removal of anger, and then of course for all the violence done by mass shootings, by guns, and all the victims and the families that are affected by this. Yeah. Yeah.
Pray for the healing of all of the mental illness in this community, not the community of the world, and the lack of people who take the responsibility.
Yeah.
You talk about the silent and
right.
His nature,
mm-hmm.
but I pray that God would look down and teach the parents how to teach themselves first accountability,
mm-hmm.
and then their children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So healing in terms of mental illness and the stigma of mental illness. I mean, it's a sad commentary that as a society we look down on persons that have mental illness, and really they're just like the rest of us when you get down to it, children of God. And so healing for them, but also for the parents, and the parents to, you know, being given the wisdom on how to raise their children wisely, because that's one of the challenges we constantly face. It's hard to be a parent these days, right? It's always been hard. It's always been hard. No matter how old they are, right? But, you know, so it's a combination of stuff. Okay. Other things that you've noticed that we need healing on. Yeah, Barbara? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, when we have those deep feelings that just, and anger is that way of expressing it, and we can't let go of the anger. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We probably all of us have something that really doesn't take much to hit a certain button in every one of our lives, and something just triggers. There was this Chinese pastor I knew. Anyway, I won't talk about that. But yeah, it took me a while to work on that one. Yeah, but yeah, now how true that is, isn't it? You know, that there are certain relationships or whatever it is that triggers the anger, and unfortunately, sometimes people, when they face that anger, what do? They take an action and it involves, unfortunately, a weapon of some sort. It's a sad commentary as to how people deal with that, and people are in need of healing in the midst of that. Sure, certainly, and all of us have intense feelings at times, and so maybe something for us to be aware of in ourselves, and we have to come to terms with that, very much so. Okay. Any other things that come to mind? Yeah, Marilyn.
Healing for all of those dealing with addictions.
Ah,
so
sure.
Family,
right. Okay, addiction. Definitely. I mean, and we can be pleased as a congregation. We are one of those places where we have a number of recovery groups that meet here and would love to have more. And there are any number of recovery groups, and wouldn't surprise me that everybody here knows someone who has some addiction. And alcohol obviously is one. We're in the midst of an opioid epidemic. Or the reality happens to be is, one of the comments I always make is, whatever the problems are outside the walls of this congregation, whatever the percentage is, it's also here in the congregation. So whatever percentage is of who has of addiction in Grass Valley, Nevada City, or Nevada County, it probably is here. And I know that we have folks that are also in recovery here, all right, who are really working hard to remain in recovery, and we want to do all we can to support folks. Or we have, family members of members, you know, that are in the midst of dealing with addiction. And then you could think of domestic violence or whatever it is, it's here among us too. And you know, pray for healing for all of that. So, and it's such commonplace. And it need not be a secret. Back to mental illness or all the stuff that we need healing. You know, if there's a place that we can talk about it, we can work on it, we can support one another. You know, if there's one place, and Jesus, I think, points to this, it's got to be here. It's got to be here. And an opportunity for us to be there for one another, to support one another, because all of us, I would say, is in need of healing of some sort. And so we can support each other, it helps us in our own healing. Okay, other things, anything else? I'm not fishing for anything in particular. Yeah. Yeah, Polly.
Healing from estrangements that happen in family.
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh, yes. How many of us have busted relationships or that are in need of reconciliation, and it involves a family member or a good friend? And there's a need for healing for that. I mean, that's not uncommon, unfortunately. Or a term that always I find fascinating when it comes to, unfortunately, divorce is irreconcilable differences. You know, and of course, we believe in a Christ that tries to reconcile us to God and to one another. And so I sit here, wow, you know, irreconcilable differences, or at least can we not be friends? But Yeah, no, that's unfortunately there, and it's commonplace. And my family's as guilty as the next one. Yeah, I mean, I think we've all seen that around us, among us, on that. Yeah.
How about healing for the earth, including right now the Amazon rainforest?
Oh, sure, definitely. The earth needs a lot of healing. Yes, definitely. I mean, you can think in terms of what, endangered species. One can think in terms of farms and what chemicals to use on farms and what would be helpful, what's not helpful. Or back to just clean air, clean water. Or how we've chopped down stuff and we can't replace and so on. List goes on. Or, dare I say the word, climate change? Or take a look at it. Something there. Yeah, or what, this July was the hottest July on record in the history of the world. What does that say? But anyway, yes, the world is in need of healing, and we need to be better stewards as human beings. Yes, Connie. Okay. Prayers for the Amazon. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Whew. Well, we got a lot of things that need healing, right? Yeah, and the one thing that, and let me assure you, at the 8:30 service, they had just as long a litany of all the things that are in need of healing. Okay, I mean, it's always interesting to open it up, and the reality happens to be is, we all already knew all about this, right? It's not like it's new news, right? I think all of us are, and it's a pretty overwhelming list. I mean, I look at it and I said, gosh, you know, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? But then, you know, someone reminded me at the 8:30 service, you know, this woman did not ask for the healing. Did you notice that? It's not like she was the one that says, you know, because we have some stories where people come out and say, Jesus, heal my daughter or heal my child, or Jesus, you know, tugging on the on his alb or his robe, heal me. No. Jesus, as we said, he had all these great reasons for healing this woman. And I think that's an example for us. That's an example for us. You know, it's got to start somewhere. Healing has to start somewhere. And you know who Jesus turns to start it somewhere? Us. You know? Or it's that old song, remember this? Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with who? Me. Or Gandhi says, be the change that you want the world to be. Okay? I mean, and it starts with just a simple step. I mean, the start of a journey starts with one step. Okay? And so, figure out what it is that the world needs help with or healing, and what can you do as one simple thing? Write a letter, phone call to someone, be there when they need help or offer your services. I mean, something within, I mean, not, obviously, none of us has Jesus' ability, unless you're holding out on me, the ability to help a person who's been bent over for 18 years to stand up. I mean, if you have that gift, great. But most of us don't have that. But all of us can do something to help someone, to heal, and to help change the world. And then the thing happens to be is, don't just take one step. If the first step opens up the door, take the next step, and the next step, and over time. You know, I mean, what I find fascinating when I read the stories of what we quote are the saints. You know, every one of the folks that we lift up as a saint was an ordinary person like the rest of us. It just so happened that they decided to take a step. And they saw a greater need, and they saw something else, and they decided to take the next step. I mean, Luther did not, when you think about it, he didn't want to change the world. All he wanted to do was just reform one Roman Catholic practice, and he wanted to be a loyal Roman Catholic. And guess what? He got swept along. Boom. It wasn't a plan. He just took a step, and he dared to trust that God will work through him. Sounds easy? Maybe not, but take a step. Do that. And I understand that maybe the step that you might take, there may be some barriers in the way. Just like Jesus knew what he was doing when he did that healing on the Sabbath, didn't he? I mean, he knew he was going to get a rise out of the synagogue leader. I mean, Jesus understood that. But then Jesus then said, however, I know the law too. And I think that's a challenge to us also. Take that step. Learn what it takes to take the next step. Be as sophisticated as Jesus, but it takes, and figure out. Someone mentioned, you know, the first step in healing. You know where that has to also begin? Healing for ourselves. And someone at the last service says, gotta pray. And then listen. And you just don't know where God's gonna take you on that next step. So dare. Because it's been given to us to be able to do this. Or back on, you know, as Anne is reminding us, you know, it's God's work, our hands. We're the ones that bring God's healing to others. You know, we get to be the face of Jesus for ourselves and for those around us. Yeah, Jean.
Well, I just wanted to say something that I do, which there's not a lot I can do not being able to see to do things. However, I'm pretty big on my computer because I have a screen reader that talks to me. But I have newsletters that come in from different places, and I subscribe to newsletters from different environmental companies and asking for online petitions to sign, or letters or whatever to turn in. And one of my big things is the plastic in this country and getting rid of the plastic straws, because they really are hurting the ocean. And you see pictures of these turtles with plastic straws sticking out of their snouts. And I mean, it's just heartbreaking what plastic is doing to this country. And so I signed a petition. I ran across to get plastic banned and get rid of plastic straws. And slowly but surely, with all the people that are signing the petition, things are changing. Because there's a lot of companies now that are changing to paper straws, or they withhold straws from the business unless a person specifically asks for a straw with their drink. Or they're going to the kind of tops like I'm talking, where they have the little spout in the top of the coffee cup. But, you know, I mean, little things like that can build when a lot of people take part. And things are changing.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a little part that I do, but it's something I can do.
Yep. Well, I think that's what it's all about. All of us do our part. All of us work together and see what happens.
Find out what you can do.
Find out. Figure it out. Where is God leading every one of us? Because all of us can be that source of healing. Yes, Margo.
Yes, we're talking about a lot about the homeless people, the able people, with this and that and something else. Remember, the shadings in the nursing homes. Some people have outlived their families. And they need visitors. They need visitors not just once in a while. They need visitors all the time. And I'm speaking about the one that I really got involved in, the Golden Empire, because my husband died there. Pat's husband is there right now. And many of our church members have been there or passed away there.
Sure.
If you have a half an hour or something, just walk to one of the nursing homes. Don't say, oh, it's depressing. Yes. But why is it depressing? Because it's people, they are mostly in their wheelchairs. They cannot do much for themselves. They have to be fed. And once in a while, just a friendly phrase to say, hello, how are you today? They might not even know how to answer you. But they're there. And they are because they got to move. Not because they took time. Drugs or smoke or this or that, because they just got old. Many of them are in their 90s or even 100. And we all, one of these days, are probably there. Thank you.
Okay. So, and opportunities. Got all sorts of opportunities. All of us have opportunities to be a source of healing for others. So, keep that in mind and see where our Lord takes us. Amen.